I'll be reading out of chapter 4. I think the message today is a little simple, but not easy. The lesson today, I titled it just two words that are pretty simple words, and the word submitting ourselves. Something I've kind of caught in the Bible lately and noticed and seen and heard, and I've never heard it preached on, but it's God phrases something in a very specific way many times, and so it must be important, and so I decided to look into it. James chapter 4. And verse 1, it says, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Where is the strife coming from? And there's a lot of strife around you. Strife. It says, where do these wars come from? Now, sometimes there's people who will fight with you, and no matter what you do. But if you're having strife, in other words, people can crucify Jesus, but he wasn't crucifying them. And it says here, where do these fighting and wars come from? It's really an eternal war. It's from inside. Come they not hence, even if your lusts that war in your members is internal. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. It says you cannot have what you want to this group of Christians. It says you have an internal war. You're not at peace. And I tell you, when you're at peace inside, you don't have to get something off your chest. And you don't have to let them have it. It's internal peace. Internal peace can make you say, I need to say something or I don't need to say something. That's what internal peace can do. And then it says, you know, even your prayers, your selfishness and your internal... And by the way, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. Jesus came to give us peace and joy, that my joy might remain in you. And my joy no man takes from you. There is a joy and a peace in the Christian life from Jesus Christ that doesn't get removed. And if there's a problem with that, it's not the way you're wired, it's not the way you're brought up, it's because you haven't been close enough to Jesus to get his peace and his joy. And he will give you that to you if you get close to him and get full of the Spirit. And it says you lust and you try to get what you want and you cannot obtain. And if you live a cannot obtain life, you just don't seem to be able to get what you want and desire, well, that's this passage here. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. It's because you don't pray. But you ask and receive not. You do pray, but you don't receive it because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. You're selfish in your prayers. Your prayers are not godly prayers. Now, I would rather somebody pray ungodly prayers. The Bible says, whatsoever you desire in prayer, ask, you shall receive. The Bible tells you to ask and let your requests be made known unto God. I do not want to say, do not pray about what you want. If you want to be married, ask God to let you be married. If you want to have a better job, ask God for a better job. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. But this is a people who is internally troubled, and they're asking selfish, vicious things. You do not pray for God to get somebody. That's not your prayer life. Your prayer life, I just disappointed a bunch of you, didn't I? That's not what prayer is for. You don't pray for something evil. So that means maybe you shouldn't be praying to win the lottery. Maybe you should just work hard and save your money. And maybe you shouldn't pray for bad things, immoral things. Because you're asking for those things. The problem is you are asking for those things because you want the wrong things. Because you're not at peace inside. You ask, receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth through envy? In other words, the Holy Spirit wants to have you. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And this is our text, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Submitting ourselves. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the chance to teach. Bless this time now and give us wisdom and discernment and understanding. We ask for your help. We ask for the Holy Spirit to speak. We ask that each one of us would have our spiritual needs met. In Jesus' name, amen. It says there, submitting yourselves. I want you to understand that God separates here something that I don't think we separate in our minds. He separates a phrase, submitting yourselves, from obedience. Okay? There's a definite phrase used in the Bible, and it's not just the word submit. It's submitting yourselves. And then in other spots, there are is the term obedience. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. They're different words. They're different words in the Greek and in the English. And there's a difference between obedience and submission. And this passage says you're supposed to submit yourself. The word submit in the Greek is hypotasso. If you think about the words there, the words are familiar because they're from their original meanings and Latin meanings and other ones where you could hear the words. But hippo, think of hippopotamus, it means under. Okay? Hippo. It means hippo, and the last part of the word is tasso, which means to arrange. So it means submit, means to arrange yourself underneath something. To put the arrangement in the order, and you put yourself underneath something. And you're supposed to submit yourself. And this submission, and not just submission, but submitting yourself, it's unbelievably hard for us. It's unbelievably difficult for us. See, I think some of us have learned to obey, but very few of us have learned to submit. And it's very difficult, especially, and this is a compliment in a way, but especially for Americans. Because we as Americans come from extremely independent people. We come from people who came here for freedom. We come from immigrants. We come from people who said, I want to be on my own, and I want to make it on my own, and if I make it, I make it. If I don't, I don't. I want to be free. And then to take yourself and submit yourself when you... See, the American mindset, and in some extent the Western mindset, is a lot different. You know, a lot of... You ever notice that a lot of countries around the world, they like a big, strong dictator up there. They want that security. They don't mind being underneath the authority. Americans, we don't like being underneath authority. We want to run our own thing. And are very strong-willed and are very independent. And that's not bad. I'm strong-willed. I'm independent. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is we are the people who have the worst time submitting. Because we have to put ourselves underneath of something. And we have to let something else be our authority and tell us what to do. There's some reasons why it's so difficult. First of all, you have to choose to do it. You have to choose to submit yourself. I want to say, if somebody came up and put a gun to your head and said, give me your wallet, you might obey them. But you might not be submitting to them. Because submission is a matter of the heart, and it's a willing thing. The Jews were being taken by Nazis with guns and German shepherds and being shoved onto trains. They were obeying them, but they were not submitting themselves. It was not a matter of a willing to put them underneath them, they had to. And you can make something obey. You can force obedience. You cannot force submission. And that's why it's so difficult, because you can take a child and you can force a child to obey you, but you cannot force your child to submit to you. And there's a big difference there. And so it's a matter of doing that. Notice how God phrased it, because the first thing you have to choose to do is, secondly, you don't have to do it. In this submitting yourself to something, it's voluntary. Because notice the phrase, because it's going to say it, and God says the same phrase a whole bunch of times, submit yourselves. Submit yourselves. Submit yourselves. And James 4:7, submit yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, it says in 1 Peter and in James 4. It says, submit yourselves. In other words, you've got to choose to do it. A child may not choose to obey his parents. He may have to. You may not choose to obey the policeman, but you have to. But submitting yourselves is where you choose to do what you're supposed to do. I am arranging this order where I'm underneath of this. Number three, it hurts our pride. It hurts our pride. And I want to get way ahead of this message and not really even in this message, but I want to say this. The greatest of all people and the strongest of all people, of any people anywhere, are Christians who are proud and strong enough to swallow their pride and go underneath someone and submit to them willingly that they do not want to submit to without an attitude. Very, 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 very less than 0.5% of Christians ever get to the real where their spirit and their will and their soul is submitted to God enough and strong enough where they can submit themselves willingly without an attitude to an authority they don't like who's going to lord over them. But they can willingly do it because they're strong enough. Very, very few attain to that. And when you're at that point, you can do whatever you need to do because you're under total control of yourself because it hurts your pride. And you've denied your pride and you've taken care of your pride, and it's very difficult to do. It hurts our pride. Next, it must be done with the heart. Obedience doesn't have to be done with the heart. You've seen a kid who's been told, go to your room and clean your room. Fine. Okay? They will obey you and clean their room. They will not be submitting to you. Their heart is not in it. As a matter of fact, some of us, when we have had to submit, we've done it very angry with grumbling and walked away. And we have not submitted ourselves. We just obeyed because we had to. That's the way most people drive. I was driving down the highway yesterday morning. I was flying along. You know, I keep pretty close to the speed limit, you know, within the range where I don't have to worry about policemen. They give you a couple miles per hour over. I'm going 62, 63. And lady in front of me sees a policeman. And does she slow down to 62 to 63? Oh, no. Does she slow down to 60? No. Does she slow down to 55? No. She slow down to 50? No. She goes 45. I almost rear-end her. Now, that's like the bad driver. It's like the speed limit. What are you so worried about? You're going, you know what I'm talking about? They slow down. Like, what are you so worried? Why are you going 45? You're getting his attention now. But you know what? I choose to put myself, because the Bible says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man. So I said that wonderful thing called cruise control right there, when I know the policeman will be happy. He's not going to pull me over. The Bible says, if you fear, you're doing wrong. That's what the Bible says. If Romans 13, it says, if you fear, you're doing wrong. So I put it where I'm not worried about a policeman being there, and I'm not going to touch anything or change anything. Amen? Okay. All right. Well, let's see if we can get something else to agree with me there. We drive furiously. But that's what God says. And we do have to do it with our heart. We have to do it not grumbling about having to do it because we haven't submitted ourselves. We haven't put ourselves under if we've done that. We haven't really submitted. Next, why is it so hard for us? We said because you have to choose to do it. You have to do it. You don't have to do it. It hurts our pride. It must be done with the heart. And it takes an incredibly strong, controlled spirit and will. It takes an incredibly strong, controlled spirit and will. The big misconception is some rebellious guy who sits there and says, nobody can tell me what to do, is a strong-willed one. Can I tell you? That is not strong-willed to me. I could do that very easily. That's really easy for me. You try to get me to submit to somebody I don't want to, I am the most stubborn person in the world. I used to have torturous brothers with torturous druggy friends who used to do everything they could to torture me into saying I quit, and I never would. And it's very easy for me to say, you're not going to tell me what to do. That is built in. It's rebellion. It's in me. I'm strong-willed. I'm as strong-willed as you ever meet. I'm stubborn. That's easy for me to say, nobody's going to tell me what to do. The hard thing for me to do is say, yes, sir. When inside I'm going, I want to strangle you. And to do it without going, fine, I'll do what you said, whatever. And just say, you know what, God, I'm going to submit to this person. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I probably didn't have a good attitude there. And I probably didn't act like I wanted to do. What do you want me to do? I want to be a good worker. I want to do what you say. That's hard for me. And that is submitting myself. I don't have to do that. Matter of fact, I can just go get me another job if I wanted to, if I didn't want to do that. But you know what? You know what God did for me? He gave me the most irritating people in the world to submit to. And he said, I'm going to make you so incredibly strong, you can do anything you need to do because you've denied yourself completely. I had Napoleon reincarnated as a 5-foot-tall woman one time. And not only did she love her authority, she flaunted it, and she loved to do it in front of everybody and humiliate you. And she was incompetent. And she'd tell you how to do the job she didn't know how to do that you were doing. It was awesome. And everybody mocked her. And everybody, and you know, I mean, she would do things that are against the law. She would punch us out. Not that's this way. I mean, punch us off the clock. When she thought we needed to leave, even though we weren't done with our job, she would do all kinds of things to drive us crazy. God said, you know, you need to have a good attitude with her. And I said, when she's gone. And God made me and said, you know what? I put her there. You're going to learn to be real strong. And I had several times like that where God just said, you're going to learn to swallow your pride and be very, very strong. And you know what? Once I learned to do that, everything else was gravy. When I learned to swallow my pride and swallow my strong will and submit myself and put myself underneath things that I didn't have to be underneath and I didn't have to submit to, I didn't have to like them. I didn't have to believe in them. I didn't have to do anything. But God said, I'm going to put you where you're going to learn to submit yourself, submit yourself, submit yourself. And you're going to learn that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went and washed his disciples' feet. He submitted himself. He put himself underneath. That was what you did to the high person. You washed their feet. The servant washed the rich person's feet. And nobody of any reputation ever washed anybody's feet. And Jesus said, I'm going to wash your feet. I'm submitting myself. I'm your servant. Do you think that was difficult for God who made those feet? I'm thinking the God of the universe who created the universe, that was a pretty big step and pretty difficult for God of the universe to humble himself that low. Yes, he was God in the flesh, but yes, he was a man. And to let those people crucify him when he was the Son of God, where he could have destroyed all them, but he put himself under to die for them. He submitted himself. And we see that. The Lord tells us to submit ourselves to some things here, and I want to just give you a few of them. The Lord asks us to submit ourselves in many circumstances. First of all, we're supposed to submit ourselves to authority. Authority. Now, we don't like this. I know we don't like this, but it's in there. And 1 Peter chapter 2. We're supposed to submit ourselves to authority. 1 Peter 2, and you don't have to turn to all these. Verse 13, submit yourselves, there's that phrase, to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be unto the king or supreme or unto governors or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, as policemen, for the praise of them that do the same. For so is the will of God, that with doing well, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. He says, you know what, you're free, next verse says free, but do in service anyway. It says you're supposed to submit yourself to the law. You're supposed to obey the law. And that's what it says. That includes a whole bunch of things. That includes keeping the speed limit and paying taxes and not stealing from your neighbor and not keeping the law. Policemen, I just want to say this. Policemen aren't bad. They're good. I understand. You heard in the news about one corrupt policeman. Do you know how many policemen there are out there? And you know what? When you call them, you're blessed in America. They generally come. And you know what? They're good people with families trying to do a good job. And our laws are not that bad. They're just not. I know you've learned to grumble. I know we've all learned to grumble. But you know what? Go with me on mission trips. You'll see bad police and you'll see bad laws. Go live in Saudi Arabia. You'll see bad laws. Go to somewhere there's no law. We got it pretty good. It's not that much to ask you to 60. Do you know how fast the wagons traveled west? Go without a car for a while and 60 will seem fast. My worst torture in the world is I drive to Oregon all the time and going 70, whoosh, and then hitting Vancouver and going 60, and then going to Portland and going 55. And I feel like I'm barely moving, like I'm rowing a boat or something. It's like, good night. It just is. But you know what? I do it. Why? Because God tells me to submit to authority and submit to the law. Number two, younger submit to older people. Younger people are supposed to submit to older people. This is 1 Peter 5:5. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the older. And the rest of the verse we'll read later, but I'll read it now. But it says, ye all of you be subject one to another. But it says, younger, submit to older. Not a lot of time in this thing. I want to say this. Okay, if you're over 50, you're going to know what I'm saying is true. If you're under 50, you're going to think I'm crazy, and it never was true. Did you know when an older person used to walk in the room, people would stand? And do you know that people used to respect older people and listen to them? Okay, it's not at all true now. I understand that. But the Bible says younger submit to older. We got a backward society. It's just foolish. We go to the young people and say, what should we act like? What should we dress like? What's hip? What's cool? And the older people try to do it. When they're going to the people who have no brains and learning, saying, you have no idea about life. Teach me what to do. It's foolish. It's backward. Older people know what's better. The older people know what's best. And the younger people should listen and submit to older people. It doesn't just say your parents there. If they know if they're ungodly, don't submit to them. But age, it should be respected. And age should be listened to. And age should be liked. And that's what it says there. And treat them with respect. Treat them with respect. Next, we're supposed to submit to spiritual authorities. And a couple of verses we can read here. 1 Corinthians, go to Hebrews here. More near Hebrews. I'll read out of 1 Corinthians. It's chapter 16, verse 16. We're supposed to submit to spiritual authorities. And it says, verse 16, that you submit yourself unto such, and everyone that helpeth us in labor. The verse before is Stephanus, his house, that addicted themselves to ministry. It says, submit yourselves unto such, and those that labor with us. It says, submit to those who are doing God's work. Hebrews 13, I was reading 1 Corinthians 16. This is Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them that have their rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Verse 17, obey them that have their rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they may give an account and do it with joy and not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you. Bible says you're supposed to submit yourself to the spiritual authority that speaks to you, the Bible. That's what God just said. I don't like preaching this. I don't like being in charge. I don't like telling people what to do. I'm not good at it. I'm very much don't like leading. I like being in the background and serving. I'd rather vacuum this room than be in the front of this room. That's me. But the Bible does say it. And I do know I've seen a lot of tragedies because people didn't listen to what I said. Can I tell you something? I do not come to people and give them a lot of advice. I don't solicit my advice. If you come to me, I'll give you advice. If I see you in grave danger, I will come to you and tell you. But I want to say, if I ever do that, you're in grave danger, trust me. I don't just walk up and say, I don't like the way your shoes are. I very rarely, unsought advice is often unheeded and usually resented. Very rarely do I do that. If I come and tell you, you need to do this, you need to do it, trust me. I'm not going to tell you to go kill people. I'm not going to tell you to go get drunk. I'm not going to tell you to go do something immoral. But I might tell you something that you might not know is wise to do, and you might not see the danger. But I've seen that path taken before, because this is what I've been doing for 25 years. And because I've studied the Bible and I've been in it and gone to school for it and been helping people and counseling for 25 years. And I've been doing that. So not that I'm perfect, not that anything else, but God says they watch for your souls. You know, I have no authority. You can choose to disobey me. And you know what? I won't get on your case. I'll think you're foolish maybe, but I will treat you just like I treated you the day before. I'll never say another word. You can do that. I just don't think you're doing what the Bible says. And I think you're not being wise. And I think if you do, if you submit yourself to spiritual authority that speaks to you the word of God, I think God blesses more than anything. And God says they watch for your souls. They want to do it with joy, and they do that. And so we should obey our spiritual authority. I think anybody who is not pastored is unwise and unbiblical. You should be pastored by somebody. And that's important because the Bible says to do that. And we can read other verses on that, but Hebrews 13, 7, 17, and 1 Corinthians 16, 16 say it real clearly and understand that you're supposed to obey your spiritual authorities. Next, wives are supposed to submit themselves to their husbands. Ephesians 5, and I want to say this, that it says more commonly, very rarely does the Bible say, wives, obey your husbands. It says, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. I don't think women have to submit to all men. I think they submit to their husbands, okay? And they have to submit themselves. We can read several verses on this. Ephesians 5, 22 says it. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. If you're a woman and I tell you to do something, if I'm not your husband and I don't have any authority over you, you don't have to obey. It's not just all women obey all men. It's not that. You submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And by the way, if your husband tells you to do something and I tell you something different, he's a higher authority than me in that system there, in God's system. And you do what your husband says. And you're supposed to do that. And it says, submit yourself. You say, Pastor, do you know how hard that is? I don't. I've never had a husband. But I hope I'd be strong enough. I'm too strong to do that. No, you're too weak to do that. You're too weak to be able to do it. You can't do it because you're too weak. Colossians 3, verse 18. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. That is fit in the Lord. I want to say this, a couple things about that. We got, first of all, Bible says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. It does not say, husbands, make your wives obey. Okay? If my wife, now my wife submits to me, and my wife's a very strong woman. My wife submits to me because she loves Jesus. Okay? If my wife doesn't obey me, you know what I'm going to do? Absolutely nothing. Am I going to take her over my knee? That's not a bad idea. No, you know what I'm going to? I'm not going to do anything. Because that's God's job to straighten her out. It's because she does not love Jesus enough to obey her husband and submit to her husband. And you know what? I can't make her love Jesus enough to submit to me. No, she does. Thank God I married the right kind of woman who doesn't sit here and listen to the women's lib and all this stuff like that. And you know what? You say, Pastor, that's politically incorrect. It's biblically correct. That's all I care about. If you don't like it, take it up with him. And take your scissors and cut it out of your Bible. Because what it says. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. The Bible says. So women are, if they're married, when they get married, supposed to submit themselves willingly and say, I'm glad to, honey. But I have my own idea of what to do. Submit yourself. Put yourself under. If you don't want to do that, nobody's going to make you. I hope your husband wouldn't make you. I don't think a husband should ever lay a hand on his wife. But if you love Jesus enough, you will. And if you're strong enough, you will. There's a lot of weak women who are so insecure they can't do it. And are so weak they can't force themselves to do what they don't feel like doing. You say, well, he's not a good husband. That's right. Submit yourself to your good husbands. That's what it said. I don't think it said that. It doesn't say that. It says submit yourself. When you said I do, you just put yourself under somebody. And that's what God says to do. It's hard. It's not easy. We're not used to it. It rebels against our flesh. I know it just makes you say, just like that lady did to me. And I said, I'm going to be strong enough. I'm going to love Jesus enough to obey anyway and submit myself and do it with a smile because I love my Lord. And he learned to submit people who were going to betray him. All right. I feel lonely and hot up here. Submit yourself to God-ordained authority. That's what the Bible says. Next. I know most of you agree and want to do what the Bible says in that. Submit yourself to other Christians. The Bible says submit yourself to people who aren't your authority. Let's go back to Ephesians 5. We just read that in 1 Peter 5. It says, be subject one to another. Ephesians 5:21 said, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Why do we do that? Let me read you what we read earlier in 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. God resists proud people who won't submit themselves. The greatest among you is going to be your servant, so put yourself under each other. Put yourself under each other. I understand there's a time when you have to be the leader, but even as a leader, be a servant leader. I am leading so I can serve you. I am leading today as a pastor of this church so I can give you the word of God, so we can have some organization, and so we can learn from God and not overheat. And that's what I'm trying to do today. I'm doing it for your sake. I'm not leading because I like being in charge. I don't. I'm a quiet guy. I'm an introvert. But I do this because I'm trying to serve you, to help you. And when the husband, when he tells his wife, we need to do this, it's not so he can be in charge and stay in his recliner all day. It's because that is the best thing for her and the kids and the family. And a good government says what's best for the citizens. Because it's a servant leadership that says submit themselves. Everybody submits themselves. And Jesus served us by dying on the cross. And it's a servant leadership. Submit yourself to the Christians. If a Christian has a need, help them. Serve them. Don't be afraid to do something to put you underneath them. Whatever they need. A Christian's need is a royal command from God. Submit yourself to each other. Next, submit in salvation. Submit in salvation. Romans chapter 10, it says, verse 3, it says, for they have not submitted themselves for the righteousness of God. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 3. For they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Israel would not be saved at that time because they would not submit themselves. See, God's eternal life is very simple. It is, you're a sinner, you need a Savior, you can't save yourself, you've got to let go and put yourself underneath Jesus as your Savior. But our nature is to save ourselves. I'm going to be good, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to live a good life, I'm going to save myself. And that is our authority, us being the authority of salvation, us being the Savior. And God says, let go, only I can save you. Submit yourself to my righteousness. But I feel like I got to do something. Submit yourself. And say, I can't do anything. Here's the steering wheel to heaven, Jesus. You have it. I'm not touching it. I'm submitting myself to your righteousness. See, salvation is a matter of submission. It's a matter of saying, Lord, I put myself under your authority. Jesus is my Savior. I'm not the Savior. I cannot get to heaven by my good deeds. I'm submitting myself to Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'm letting him save me. The Bible says, the next verse says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Submit yourself in salvation. If you're still trying to save yourself today, you've not submitted yourself to God's righteousness. And the last thing, and back in our original text, is submitting ourselves to God. That's the biggest one. That's the biggest one. Submitting ourselves to God. Book of James again, and James chapter 4. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Did you notice that you say, I want spiritual victory? The Bible says if you submit yourself to God and resist the devil will flee from you. Amen. You know what's great? Submission to God brings victory in your life. And when you get strong enough to submit to God, and that includes submitting to the things he puts in your life also, again, I never did like that lady or even admire her or be impressed with her or with some other men bosses I had or other people. I never did. However, I love Jesus enough to submit there. And when I had that, you know what? If I couldn't have done that, I don't believe I would have ever been a very good Christian. Because the devil wouldn't have fled because I never submitted myself to God. Because ultimately me obeying the policeman, and ultimately a wife obeying their husband, and ultimately us obeying our authority, and ultimately us having a good attitude and saying, I'm putting myself under this willingly and being strong enough to do so. It's ultimately submitting to God. And ultimately the devil's going to flee because you are so strong and because you submitted to God. And you can now resist the devil because you've learned to submit yourself, because that's probably the hardest thing for a lot of us, is to submit ourselves and to put ourselves under. Yet sometimes I've had God bring somebody along and try to give me advice who knew nothing of what they're talking about. And God said, shush and act like you're learning. And I've looked at that person and said, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. And I sat there and God said, you don't know, you can tell them they're wrong and show them, but I want you to learn to just keep your mouth shut and just learn to let them think they taught you something and let them think they're smarter than you. But Lord, they're not. They're not smarter than me. And God says, I know that. That's why I'm doing this. You're going to learn to be strong. So I sat there and took it. I had one time where a guy came up and I'm telling you, of all the people in the world to give me advice, this was not the guy. And he came up to me and he just started giving me this incredible advice about all these things I should do in my life. And I was, and another guy who knew me was sitting down next to us on the pew, was at church. And this guy, I got done telling me all the stuff he needed to do. I said, okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. Sat back down. Guy gets next to me and says, how in the world did you do that? I was going to get up and punch him. That's what he told me. He says, how can you listen to him and he give you advice? He's the biggest loser in the world. He does everything as nice a failure. And he said, how'd you just? He said, I couldn't have done that. How'd you do that? He said, I was gonna punch him for you. And if it would have been me, I would have punched him. I laughed and said, I appreciate your loyalty and your friendship. And I said, I'm glad you did it in heart. And, you know, when you, it wasn't a matter of me admiring that guy or anything. It's a matter of sometimes God puts things in front of you that you got to do that are hard, and it makes you submit yourself willingly. See, I want to say this. Jesus is Lord, and you should submit to him as Lord of your life. I mean, you're saved maybe, but you've never made him Lord of your life. I mean, you submit to God. God, my life is yours. Whatever you want, you call me anywhere in the world, I'll go there. Anything you want me to do, anything you want me to give up, any relationship you want me to change, you are Lord. I'm completely under you, God. Anything for you. That submission is what we should have. That submission is so hard for humans and so incredibly hard to really let go and say, Lord, you're Lord of my life. But I want to say this. You're going to submit to God. You're going to bow to God. He's going to be Lord. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's just a matter of whether you submit yourself or you fall on your knees in humility someday, because you are going to bow your knees to Jesus Christ. I choose to submit myself. I got right there last night and laid flat on my face, prostrate. See, because the Bible says worship is literally submission. I'm going to read you the exact definition of the word worship that the Bible uses all over in the New Testament, John 4, many of the passages we can read. When it says worship the Lord, here's the word it uses. Proskuneo. The word pros is from where we get the word prostate from. The word pros means down, low, prostrate. Kuneo means dog. The definition, the meaning, this exact definition of the word right here, quote, meaning to kiss like a dog licking his master's hand, to fawn, crouch, prostrate oneself in homage. That's the word worship means. I'm too high for that. Okay. You're too high to be a submissive Christian and to be have Jesus be Lord of your life. But I'm willing to lay on my face before my God and say, you're Lord. I'm just man. I'm yours. And let him be Lord. That's I hope you'll do that. I hope I can do that. And I hope I can stay there. And I hope that you can go there and say, I'm strong enough that Jesus is Lord and Jesus is my king, and I can do that. A great kingdom in some spot, and there's this kingdom a long time ago. And in this kingdom, there was these oppressors who were very dark, and the kingdom was terrible and oppressive, and many people were miserable and oppressed, and the oppressors that lived in that kingdom would beat the people and force them to slavery and barely give them any food and would not do many things for them as the oppressors did. And one day, a king came in, and he took the oppressors and defeated them and set up a magnificent kingdom there. And there were still many people who weren't in the very palace, and they're outside there, and it was still ugly and dingy and dirty outside there. And in that palace was beautiful and clean and majestic and golden and white. And in there was the king. And the king told everybody, and his announcer told everybody, the king has delivered you, and he wants you to bow down to him and submit to him and let him be your king. And people would talk about it, and there was a pile of people out there, and the oppressors would whisper in their ear and say, don't listen to him. You do your own thing. You're free. You can do what you want to do. You don't have to submit yourself to him. You don't have to let him be your king. You can be free out here and do what you want to do. But the announcers would come out and say, let him be your king and submit yourself to him, and you can be close to him, and he'll do great things for you and use you, and your life will be different, and you won't be around the oppressors, and they won't be in charge of you anymore. Maybe in one corner is a pile of young people, and they're out there and arguing over this, and the oppressors are whispering in their ears and telling them, no, don't go to the king. Don't do what he says. You have to follow his orders. You're free out here. But a couple of them, one named John and one named Mary, said, you know what? Let's go. I'm tired of listening to this. Let's just go there and let's bow down and make him king and see what it's like. It sure looks better over there than over here. And John and Mary, they cross over and they walk in to get into the narrow gate there, and they bow down and they said, we're willing to follow the king. They take him in the presence of the king and they bow down and said, you're our king. And he says, that's fantastic. I'm going to make you something great and something very special. And he began personally to work with John, and he began personally to work with Mary, and he trained them and strengthened them and fed them with good food and gave them the best of everything and gave them a wonderful situation and took care of them, and they're getting healthier and stronger. And one day John gets armor and he says, John, you've got some great works to do, and I'm gonna go with you and I'm gonna help you, and you're gonna go out and you're gonna slay a dragon. And out of the gate one day rides John in his beautiful shiny armor, and there are those dark in rags people out there saying, John, you're a wimp. You're not free. You have to follow the king. And he says, I'm going out and I'm glad to follow the king, because the king and I are going to do great things. A week later, John rides back with a wagon behind him with a giant dragon's head in it. He's strong, he's big, he's got armor on. And he's went and he's slain his dragon. And pretty soon Mary rides off and she's going to go off and she's going to go rule a new part of kingdom of the kingdom and take care of a bunch of children there who have needs and know everybody's neglected them, and give them a wonderful place and take care of them. And she rides off in beautiful clothing and rides off with the presence of the king and joy in her face, and says, and they said, you're weak. You did that. And John says, you think we're weak? You're too weak. You just want to stay out there and do nothing. In your own little power, in your own little life, in your own little, I can do what I want to do, and stand there. I want to say this. The person I visit in the jail who's 35 years old, who sits there and says, I'm not going to do what anybody says. I'm not going to submit. Is a lot weaker than a Navy SEAL who's been through all the training. You can still say yes, sir, to his officer. And by the way, all those rebellious people think they're so strong, they're not strong enough to submit. We can all rebel, can't we? Not a lot of us are strong enough to say, yes, sir, when we don't feel like it. I want to say this. When you go and submit to God and make him the Lord of your life, and you submit yourself and you're strong enough to do that, let people mock you. You're strong enough that their mocking doesn't bother anymore, because you learned to submit yourself. Okay, fine. I'm weak. Because you got rid of yourself and you submitted yourself to God. I want to say this today. Learn to submit yourself. Be strong enough to make Jesus Lord. Be strong enough to make him Lord when he puts other authorities there you got to submit to. That's what God says. I understand if authority tells you to go kill somebody, you don't do it. You obey God rather than man. Okay, when you get there, cross that bridge. Until then, submit yourself. Submit yourself. But it's hard. You're strong-willed like me. This is the first 4 years of my Christian life. I'm going to put you where it's going to be hard to submit. Submit yourself. Submit to Jesus as Lord. Father, thank you. You said, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Another verse, you said, submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. Eventually, in that story, the king comes out and conquers those ones too, but they don't have a choice now to submit, and they're servants and slaves, not royalty. Because those of us who decide to serve you now and submit to you now, everyone's going to submit to you. Revelation 20 says that. Even the stars and the sun flee away from your presence. And every knee bows and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But Lord, we can submit ourselves right now and say, speak, Lord, because I'm submitting to you. Help us to do so. Help us be strong enough to submit to the authorities you put in our life and the people you put in our life. And even people who aren't authorities, but we're just servants of each other. Lord, please help us to submit even in salvation. We pray all these things that we would learn to submit, therefore, to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Help us to learn to submit ourselves. Not just obey, but submit ourselves in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Hard message today. We're talking about submitting ourselves. Have you submitted yourselves? It's one thought. It's one thought. Whether it's your husband, whether it's your boss, whether it's a spiritual authority, whether it's the Lord himself, it ultimately is you're submitting to the Lord. Are you strong enough to submit yourself, swallow that pride, control that strong will, or are you going to say, nobody's going to tell me what to do? I'm going to keep hold of the steering wheel. Suit yourself. You have a free will from God, and you can do that, but you'll remain very small. God gives great things to those who can submit themselves. Christian, your Lord wants to be Lord of your life. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Pastor, I need to work.